Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for April 20th, 2017. I'm Paul White, and I am your host here on the DDP. With great honor, we go into this very complex passage from Romans chapter 7. I say it's a great honor because it's the honor of the child of God to dig into the truths of God's Word, even if sometimes the digging requires a little extra time, a little extra care. That's a passage that we are in where you can't just fly through the last several verses of Romans 7 if you want to be true to what was, I think, was in the apostle's heart. And that what was in his heart was a very complex thought that, hey, I know who I am in Christ. I know I'm crucified with him. I know I'm alive with him. I've reckoned myself dead to sin, but I've got a conflict. The law seems to inflame the passions of sin, and I don't want to do these things wrong, but I keep doing them, and there's an issue, and I see a difference between how I act and who I am. If you approach Christians and Christianity from a man-centric point of view, you are going to see that people you're going to accuse people of not being sanctified, not being holy, and perhaps even not being righteous. But if you approach Christianity and Christians from a Christ-centric point of view, you're going to come away with the idea that people are what God says they are, even independent of how they might act at times. Romans chapter 7, verse 16. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. At first blush, this verse appears to be saying that if I'm doing the things I don't want to do, that's good. If I agree with the law, that's good. Well, that doesn't even really make sense, because that would make it sound like it's okay that if you end up not doing what you know you should or doing what you know you shouldn't, big deal, that's good. We know that can't be right. This is another example of how bringing things from the Greek to the English sometimes doesn't make them any clearer. In fact, it muddies the water a bit. So what Paul is saying in that 16th verse, first of all, is the law is good. This is not the first time that he has said that the law is good, but the law is definitely good. It's a repeat from verse 12. Where he said the law is holy, the commandment is holy, it's just, it's good. The law is good, but when I try to do the right thing, it becomes obvious to me that I need a guide like the law, because I can't do the right thing. Now, ultimately, the conclusion will be that the law doesn't help him do the right thing, but the law certainly exists for those who are not believers. It exists for those who are lawless, for those outside of Christ. Remember what Paul will say to Timothy. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Now, we know that the law is good. There's a direct reference, by the way, back to this passage from Romans 7:16. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this. Now, he's about to tell you what the lawful use would be. That the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane. And then he goes on to list specific sins, but not until he has already told you that it's for those who are unjust. Now, you and I, as believers, and Paul as a believer in Romans, would not have considered himself unjust. And the reason he wouldn't have considered himself unjust goes all the way back to Romans chapter 3, verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So how do you become justified? You believe in Jesus. And when you believe in Jesus, you have received who he is. Listen to Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So we've already established in both the third and the fourth chapters of Romans, Paul has already established that justification comes by faith. And then when he talks about the law and he consents that the law is good, and it proves to him the law is good because he's used it. He knows it's the plumb line by which he's tried to live right. But when he writes to Timothy to tell him how to use the law, he specifically says it's for unjust people. Who's an unjust person? Those who have not placed faith in Christ. They have the external moral code of the law, and if they'll, you know, the world's a better place if they live the external code of the moral law. Absolutely, the world's a better place. If people don't kill, the world's a better place. If people don't covet their neighbor's property, the world's a better place. If they don't steal, if they don't commit adultery, the world's a better place. But Paul has found that trying to put that moral code up as a means of living right doesn't work. So for the ungodly, yes, put it out there. Paul is saying to Timothy, they need to know that what they're doing is wrong, and many of them have no concept that what they're doing is wrong. But we don't put the law in front of the godly. Why? Because the godly have Christ inside of them, the Holy Spirit written on their hearts. We're still serving him. Remember Romans 7:6. Romans 7:6, he says, we've been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. You can't be delivered from it and then go back into it. You can, but why would you? And remember this, the end of Romans 7:6. We serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. It's in Christ that we serve, through the Holy Spirit, not the old letter of the law. And we can really grasp this and pull this in. Oh, how much better off we'll be. Let's read a couple more of these verses. They're all part and parcel of the same thought, beginning in verse 17 of Romans 7. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. Please catch the emphasis. Again, don't accuse Paul of believing he has sin in his spirit man. He says, no, there's nothing good in my natural man. For I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. I want to talk about that desire to do what's right, also called willpower, and why it is completely insufficient for God's people. And we'll do that tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.